Last week, we started on this series called Seasons. All of us go through seasons in life, and it's a healthy process. Todd, last week, talked about what it's like to be in fall, where our tree representing us, it lives, it's doing well, but things have to fall off of it. Acorns have to fall, leaves have to fall, good things have to fall, and when they go and they hit the dirt, the next thing that happens is winter. Winter comes, and winter snows over and ices over the things that have fallen and hit the ground. And what that enables are those things to germinate and to sprout. And what happens when you're in the midst of winter? You're in the midst of stillness. You're in the midst of calmness. And this is very un-American. The American way is not stillness and calmness. Oh man, it's just sort of a little bit unsettling just seeing that go, multitasking and the frenetic activity of it. And this is the way we live our lives, just intense, constant, frenetic activity. Back when we slow down even for a little bit, we sometimes feel guilty. We call ourselves a slacker. We're afraid somebody else is going to call us a slacker. We don't like slowness. We don't like the idea of stillness. That car that she was in reminds me of a statistic I ran across of the British Journal of something or other. It's up here. The British Journal that's for occupational environmental medicine. They found out that people who drive after being awake for 17 to 19 hours performed worse than those with a blood alcohol level of 0.05%. We need moments of inactivity. We need sleep. We need times when we are just still. Back when our lives were governed by seasons, before Thomas Edison came along and gave us the light bulb, which I'm very, very, very thankful for, but back before all of that stuff happened, we have artificial things altering our days, people got regularly 9 hours of sleep a night. You didn't have much of a choice. You couldn't watch television. You couldn't read. It was hard to read with candlelight. There was these natural rhythms that caused people to sleep. Today it's very normal for people to be sleeping 5-6 hours a night, and we think that we're getting away with it, but we're really not. We're slowing down our reaction times. We're causing ourselves to be unhealthy. It is not normal to have very little sleep. We tend to not want sleep because we want to keep being on the go and to have more accomplishments and more things checked off of our to-do list. In fact, you know that you're a real sicko if you have a to-do list and you do something that wasn't on your to-do list and you actually got to go write it in after you've already done it and then check it off. Like, ooh, good, I got that done. Who does that? Who wants to admit that you've done that? Okay, yeah, you know, you're sick. You have problems. We can all be in the same support group together. Yes, we can. What's it look like when you have a sleep disorder? Well, this is the same thing that looks like when you actually have a rest disorder. I'm going to talk about two kinds of rest today. Consequential rest and intentional rest. Here's what happens when you have a sleep disorder and also a rest disorder. You have poor decision making, poor judgment, increased risk taking. You have poor performance in school, on the job, and in sports. You also have increased incidence of illness in general. When you think that you don't have to sleep all that much, you'll notice that the people who sleep more actually have fewer sick days. So in the short burst, you're getting more time in during the day, but over the course of a year and perhaps over the course of your life, you're more prone to illness and diseases because your immune system hasn't been rebuilding itself. You have impaired memory, concentration, and ability to learn. You have also physical impairment, poor coordination, delayed reaction time. And finally, one more, there's anxiety, depression, and other emotional problems that you are more susceptible to when you don't embrace slowing down and being still. Jesus lived all of the seasons. All of these seasons, in some way, shape, or form, are lived every single day. You're forced into winter whenever you sleep, even if it's for 5 hours or 9.5 hours. All of us have all seasons every single day, and all of us are in a phase of life where we're more predominantly living and operating in one of the seasons. Last week we talked about fall. This verse was talked about. Let's talk about it again. It comes from the book of John chapter 12. Jesus, he says this, "The hour has come for the Son of Man," that's what he called himself sometimes, "to be glorified." What he means there is now is the time that's going to start a whole new process for me to be lifted up, for me to get more glory, because God is going to shine a spotlight on me and I'm going to be a model for people and great stuff is going to happen. And we still talk about him. That's happening over 2,000 years later. He did get glorified. But he says this, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus went through fall. He says, I am about to fall. He was on a tree. He was strung up on a tree. It's called a cross. He dies. He comes off of the tree. And those who love their life will lose it, while those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. He says, if you want to be about God, you've got to follow him, follow the pattern. The pattern that Jesus showed was he had a great life, lived a great life. He falls. He goes through the process of dropping something off, his life off, hits the ground, and then winter happens, as is seen as this next verse. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? My soul's troubled, what shall I say? Fall doesn't really trouble us. We loved yesterday, didn't we? In fact, why am I in here right now? I mean, this is talk about, you guys are really committed churchgoers if you're in here today. Awesome, good to have you. But this is incredible weather, isn't it? The leaves are changing, the leaves looking beautiful, they're starting to fall, it's crisp, you can wear a sweatshirt if you want to. This is fall, everyone loves fall, but what comes next, we don't like that, is winter. Jesus realizes, is not only is he going to be falling off the cross, he's going to go through winter. And he says, my soul is troubled. Who likes winter? Very few of us like winter unless you want to snow ski or snowboard. We don't like the slush. We don't like the bulky clothes we have to wear. We don't like having to drive slower on icy roads. We don't like not being able to go out and ride our bicycle or our motorcycle or having to run on the treadmill. We don't like the things that come with winter because it forces us to slow down, to mellow out, to be indoors, to be a little more still. But this is what Jesus went through. And see, when he came off the cross, he was put into the grave. It was winter. For 3 days, he was put in the grave. It was winter. He was underground. See, when you plant seeds in the fall for your grass, it's the best time to plant grass in the fall. You put the seed under the soil, and what happens is it germinates. So after winter, there will be more productivity from that one seed that fell being underneath the ground for winter. And Jesus, he goes through winter. He goes into the ground for 3 days. He's there. And if he didn't go through that and then come back in spring, the reason the early church started celebrating Easter in spring is because this identifies with what Jesus is about. He brings new stuff to your life, but first you have to go through winter. Jesus comes back literally and physically from the dead. Now, if you weren't with us last Easter, I don't blame you for not believing me at that. It sounds crazy. I admit that sounds crazy. But that's the foundation upon which Jesus' life rests. And if you want to look more into that, you can get a CD that we did of that message out at the media center, or order one, or get it free as well online. No charge. Just go ahead and get one. But the power is that Jesus goes under the ground. He has winter, and after 3 days, he comes up, he sprouts up. And as a result of that power, all of us are here today, even if many of us don't believe in Jesus. We're here today because there's been something about him and something about his followers, something about his saplings that came up in the ground over 2,000 years that we still talk about him today because he went through winter. All growth initially feels like failure. All growth initially feels like failure. It felt like failure to Jesus when he fell off the cross and was buried. Everybody who knew him thought, well, I guess that's it. I guess it was good while it lasted. Now we have to go find some other motivational speaker to motivate us, I guess, because his life is dead. His life is gone. And so it feels like failure. Winter is that time when you feel like that failure. It's that time when something falls off your life and then you second guess whether or not you should have allowed it to go. Because in the intermediary stages of growth, it feels like failure. Snow comes over. There's nothing new that's happening. And we just got done with the sex series. A couple weeks ago, we got done with that. And here's a question I have for you. Is there anything different about your life sexually if you went through that series? Is there anything different? If you were doing pornography beforehand, are you still doing porn right now? If you were dating somebody and you were doing stuff sexually that now you know is not in the plan of love that God has for you, are you not doing those things to that person? Or maybe did you even break up with that person? If you're married, are you trying to please your spouse and serve your spouse sexually? Or are you just still hoping that they press your buttons properly? See, if you've done any of those things, if you've changed sexually, you're in winter right now. You're in winter right now. It doesn't feel good. You're not happy about it. You're not sure what to do because you used to go and do some porn and get a quick little jolt. And now you're not able to do it. You're not getting that quick jolt. And you feel like you're uncertain of yourself. You're wondering what you should do. You're going out with the person you're dating and you don't even know what to do any longer. You realize you don't even like talking to the person. It's not all that interesting to be with them any longer, which is one of the reasons why you shouldn't be having sex. You find out whether or not you can live with them for a long time. Maybe you broke up with somebody and you're lonely right now. Well, you don't have anything to do on Saturday nights or Friday nights and you're concerned about how, you know, do people still like me and I'm weird. If you're trying to be more selfless in bed with your spouse, right now sex might not be as good for you because you're having to work for a change. And it hasn't become natural for you yet to be an unselfish lover. See, if you made any changes at all during the sex years, I'm telling you right now, you're in winter and it's okay. It's okay. And here's the other thing. If you went through a sex series and you did make any changes, you're not getting closer to God right now. You are not growing. Let me tell you something. That's a big difference coming in here and getting new ideas versus coming in here and doing new doings. Getting new ideas is not the same as doings. Having new spiritual thoughts is not spiritual growth. And some of you, you've been coming across this for 5 years, and you think you're growing spiritually. You're not. You just got 5 years of new ideas. Ideation is not the same as doing. It is doing that grows us and brings us closer to God. When things drop off our life, and all of a sudden we go through a period of, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I regret. But we work through it, and what do you know? After winter, boom, stuff starts popping up out of the ground. Beautiful, lush things. This is why if you're a parent, you don't like to discipline. It's not because you're a weak wussy, though some parents are, but it's because you realize that as you discipline, life gets harder. You tell your kid, that's it, no more television for you. And then you're going, why did I say that? That was stupid to say. Because now your life gets harder. Now you actually got to read them a book or something like that, as opposed to, go watch Big Bird over there, whoever that is, Big Barney, whatever, go over there. Because now your life gets harder because the discipline of the television dropping away, your life gets harder. Or if you have a kid who drives, and you say, no, you can't drive any longer, I'm taking the car keys away, your life gets harder. They're hopefully getting some character formation because they've learned they shouldn't be doing the thing that caused them to lose the car. But for you and them, actually, life gets harder. Winter comes. Now you're having to drive back and forth again. Discipline, growth always requires winter. It always requires momentary regret. It always requires coldness. It requires feeling like you're somewhat naked. You're underclothed. Your normal trappings that are surrounding you are gone. They're away. Some of us, you know, we say, man, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And I believe in the Bible. I want to read the Bible. I believe that. But there's basic things that you've heard about, had ideas about for a long time that you've just never done. Like tithing. Like giving 10% of your income away as a baseline starting point. And the reason you don't is because you don't want to grow. You don't want to go through differences. Things have to drop off your life. You can't just say, I'm going to be more generous and give outside of myself. So you got to realize, oh, wow, I might not be able to upgrade my house for a while. Or, ooh, maybe I can't buy that second house. Or, maybe I can't spend $300 a month in eating out. Or, ooh, maybe I can't go, maybe I need... And whenever you make a decision to grow, there's things that have to drop off of your life and you don't like it initially. Your system has to acclimate until you start feeling the benefits of it. Snow comes. It has to come in order for seeds to germinate. I had to make sure that I wore a long sleeve shirt today because I didn't want to cause the ladies to stumble, you know, by having this. It's just by... I wanted to do. You know, if you've ever watched a Sylvester Stallone movie, except for one that I can think of, you realize the guy makes sure that he has a lot of short sleeves that he wears, and you know that he's got a weight set off of camera, you know, that he pumps up for, you know, because right now I am starting to get pumped. right now. Blood is rushing into my muscles, flushing the area, and I'm starting to get larger. By the way, no, these are not my weights I keep off stage in order to come on with. These, I don't do that. These actually were in Brian Wells' office. They were. And he doesn't do that either, but he has these in his office. They actually represent his maximum bench press. And he has an extra one just in case that he has up there. So, I'm sorry. Brian likes that. He knew I was saying that. It was all good. But, you know, here's the thing. I can do this stuff. And you know that in the moment, I am getting larger. But, you know, this activity, this frenetic pace is making me look larger, making me feel a little bit better about myself. But right now is my muscle getting stronger? Excuse me. No. No, it's not. When does my muscle get stronger? When does it grow? When you rest. When you rest. Those muscle fibers are all breaking down when you lift weights. They're breaking down. They're breaking down. You're actually hurting your muscle. But it's in the resting that they start to heal themselves. And when your muscles go to a new level. In the physical realm, this mirrors the spiritual realm. You must go through things that breaks you down. When you drop anything off of your life, it breaks you down. It wears you out. And even in the moment, you get a brief buzz of, whoo, I stopped that. I didn't do that anymore. I go, whoo, whoo, whoo. Yeah, that's great. Well, winter will come. Winter will come where you will wonder and you will regret that. I will regret perhaps tomorrow. We'll see how good a shape I'm in. Tomorrow I may regret that I did this, that all the services and a Saturday run through, because I'll probably be sore tomorrow. But yet I'll be better off for it. This is the way winter works. It's consequential. Winter is consequential and it is intentional. A consequence of allowing things to drop off, a consequence is that you will feel like you are failing when you are resting. It breaks you down. Now, look in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to show you this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. Because God doesn't just say this is going to be a consequence of growing. He also says, I want it to be an intentional decision. It's a consequential decision or a consequential action. It's also an intentional decision. He has a top 10 list in the Bible. It's called the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, one of them is where he commands people who want to follow him to be restful. And here's what it says in one of these listings of these top 10 things. He says this: observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. The Sabbath day was one day in seven for the Jews to detach from their work and make an intentional decision to rest. And for the Jews of this time period, and even still today, it's Saturday. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This has the most words attached to any of the Ten Commandments. Other ones are pretty simple. Thou shalt not murder, period. Thou shalt not lie, period. Thou shalt, you know, this one has the most. And it's sort of like God is making it so big. He's saying, I want to make sure there's no loopholes on this. I want to make sure you understand. I'm really serious about this. Work 6 days, whatever those 6 days are, do it. But you got to have at least a day out of six where you detach. And if you're a leader, if you're a manager, you're responsible to make sure the people who you're nurturing, who are under you, that they do this too. If you want to follow me, you need to make sure in your whole realm of influence, your whole sphere of influence, your livestock, they're resting too. So we learned last week that California doesn't produce as much as the Midwest because they never rest the land. Even though there's always sun, always rain, it's in the Midwest where stuff is produced at a larger yield because the land is forced to rest every single winter. And so God says in your life, you have to have one day out of seven where you are forcing yourself into rest. And what does he pin it to? He pins it to what he did for them. The central theme in the New Testament I just talked about earlier is Jesus dying on the cross, coming back from the dead. That's a central theme in the Newer Testament portion of the Bible. The central theme in the Older Testament portion of the Bible is this release of slavery that the nation of Israel had from Egypt. It's referred to over and over again all throughout the Old Testament, where the nation of Israel is in bondage, they're in slavery, and Charlton Heston comes and frees them, Moses comes, and takes them across the Red Sea. They talk about this all the time. What happened with the nation of Israel is they went through winter. They came out of their way of life, and immediately, now they have to start finding their own food, because before, the Egyptians would give them food, and they start complaining. They start complaining. Even though they're free, they start complaining because they don't like the new conditions. They don't like winter. But God says, you know that their lives are better. I did that for them. I brought them out. You can trust in me. And see, this is what rest is. Rest is an act of faith. That's why we tend to not want to rest, because rest is an act of faith. When I have my life in my own hands and everything depends on me, well, why would I ever rest? Because I gotta make hay. And by the way, this series is not about everybody mellow out and just go slower in life. Wait till we get to spring and summer. Spring and summer are coming. This is not validate your slacking off ways. It is not. It's embracing every season is necessary. And it is necessary to have a season of winter where things are a bit still, where we're waiting for something to happen. See, what I'm really saying when I can't take a day off, as I'm saying, everything depends on me. I work 6 days and I have one day, at least one day is devoted. My day is Friday. Some of you today, you can have Sunday. I can't have Sunday because I work most Sundays. Some of you have Saturdays. I can't have Saturday because I can work most Sundays. If you have 2 days, that's awesome. Fantastic. I can't have Saturdays. I can't have Sunday. Mondays don't work either for a variety of reasons. So it's Friday. It's Friday for me. How many of you in here would call yourself good students? Who would call themselves a good student? Let's raise your hand. Good students. Tell the person next to you why you would call yourself a good student. Now, if you're in a section where no one's a good student, sorry, you can't say anything right now. But what makes a good student? What makes a good student? Let's shout it out. This, opinions from the audience. What is it? Perseverance. What else? Listening. Discipline. Commitment. It's good. You got good answers because I thought you were going to say good grades. That's a sign of what a good student is. But good students do exhibit everything people said. Perseverance, discipline. What does that mean? That means they weren't like me cramming the last night. I was an awful student. The main reason is I would just wait to the last minute and just cram. Great students understand discipline. I do a little bit in study every day and I kind of do my thing. It's hard for me to have a Sabbath, to have a day off on Friday. It's hard. I have a term paper. I have a presentation that gets graded by thousands of people every Saturday and thousands of people every Sunday. It's hard. It's very, very hard for me. There's always a reason for me not to rest. There always is. And God knows there's always a reason not to rest. He reiterates this command to rest over and over again. Here's another time he reiterates it. 6 days you shall do labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. It's like, well, hold on, wait, it's tax account. I'm a tax accountant. It's tax season. Holy, yeah, that's plowing season and harvest. Even when summer comes and you got to make hay, you have a finite time to get in the crops. Even then, God says, 1 day out of seven. I can say, oh, God, I got a huge presentation the next day. I have to rest. And how intense is God about this? I mean, how important to him is this? Well, this next reiteration gives a clue of it. Here's another one. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it must be killed dead. That's what it says there. God says to leaders of the nation, part of your governmental responsibility says is, you know, give people speeding tickets if they're taking their ox too fast and kill people who aren't resting on the Sabbath. That's crazy. Now, we don't have any examples in the Bible where leaders issued capital punishment to kill people. We don't have any examples there of when that actually happens. But I think it's important to know, and by the way, God doesn't want that today either, but different nation, different time. But why would God tell this to his people? Why would he say? Because he wants to cement it in their minds that he is personally offended if you call yourself wanting to have a relationship with him, but yet you can't detach. He's personally offended. See, what am I saying to God if on Fridays I have to send email directives, I have to check my voicemail, I've got to like do some final touch-up for my message? What am I telling him? What I'm telling him is Crossroads really needs me. The kingdom needs me. You know, nothing can function without my hands in it, because I am so important. I am so important. I have to have my hands in everything, or else something is going to collapse. When you leave here today, watch how many people are on their cell phone at lights. And I plead guilty to this. I have this weird thing inside of me where I feel like if I'm not on the cell, on the phone while I'm in the car, I'm wasting time somehow. It's crazy. It's like the need to multitask. But really what's underneath that is an inflated view of my importance. Before cell phones, we didn't really need to do that. But now I feel like, ooh, I need to get on. I really think that 3 out of 4 of us are on those cell phones because we think that we're so important that someone has to hear our voice. That just has to happen. And one of the things that happens is when we are so busy and so on the go, we miss out on things that God may be teaching to us that we can't hear and can't understand. Recently, I noticed that I've been very, very curt with my family at home. I'm coming home like, you know, I don't like this and just real like curt and to the point. And I've been noticing this has been going on. And so I took time to think about this. And by the way, when do you think about something like that? Only when you rest. You're never thinking about that when you're on your cell phone. You're never thinking about your personal outages on your cell phone. You're not thinking about new things God might you to do when you're deep in a sales meeting. All those things are important, but it's moments of rest when new things come to you. So I just started realizing, man, maybe in some times of rest, maybe the reason this is happening is because when I'm at crossroads, I'm sort of like the top of the organizational chart. And people are very strong who are around me and speak a lot of truth and all that stuff. But still, there's this thing. I'm still at the top of the org chart. And so if I really want something, I probably can get my way. I really can. So maybe I'm just used to people deferring to me when I come home. Of course, that doesn't happen when you go home, right? Maybe the reason why I'm getting this is because I'm bitter, because I'm not getting my way. Maybe I'm having pride seep into my life. Ow. You know, you come to those conclusions only when you rest. You don't come to those conclusions when you're doing your normal thing, you know, and working 24/7. Resting is an act of faith. It's an act that it's going to be okay even if I don't engage. Everything is going to be fine. What happens when you rest is your pride goes down because you realize you're depending on God. Your pride goes down. I talked yesterday, a medical student came up afterwards and said, when I first started going to medical school, I was really disciplined having 1 day in 6 to rest. Someone came up the last service too and said, can I play tennis? Can I do that? You figure out what it is. I'm just talking about rest. I'm just saying you got to get out of your normal thing that you do. And this person came up and said, so when I started medical school, I would take 1 day in 7, and I was very disciplined about it. And then I gradually started compromising and gradually started studying all day or every week and every day all week. And now here I am. I realize I really lost something that was of value. And he said, I can tell the difference. I can tell the difference. See, his grades might not be as good if he takes 1 day off. They might not be. They could be. But they might not be. But what he notices is the holistic character and caliber of his life has decreased. And if he really wants to call himself having faith in God, he has to allow rest to happen because it shows God, I'm not controlling my life, you are, and you're going to have to make up the difference. Rest is an act of faith. It forces us to depend on God. Winter is an act of faith. You know, if you ever plant a lawn, you do your lawn and you're like, snow goes down, you're going, oh gosh, okay, I hope everything hasn't died. I hope it's okay. Winter brings about an act of faith. Leadership development also happens when you embrace intentional rest. Last week, Brian Wells was supposed to speak, and something came up in his life. He couldn't do it, but it came up in enough notice that he said to me, hey, I'm not going to be able to do fall, or at least I like not to do fall. I will if you really have to have me do it, but I'd appreciate if we could find somebody else. I said, okay, well, that shouldn't be a problem. So talked to Chuck Mingo, and Chuck had something that was pre-planned with extended family, so he couldn't do it. And so I thought, well, you know, I had a family camping trip, but I hate camping to begin with, so I can maybe I can do this. And that's fine. I step in from time to time and all's good. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll just do it because I actually want to talk about fall anyway. So as I'm thinking about that, I thought, now what am I really saying? I've been putting off this family thing for a long time. If I just kind of step in right now, what I'm really saying is Crossroads really needs me and I really can never have any time off. And so that's where we went to Todd. Todd's been around for a while and Todd came in. Todd did a good job last week, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Did a good job. You need to remember Brian Wells, when he started 10 years ago, he sucked. He was just, his first message was called, Budgeting Isn't Boring. That was his first message. Pretty darn good now. By the way, I was really, really bad when I first started. Still am pretty bad in some ways right now. But what happens, Todd comes in and does this thing, it's leadership development. Someone else starts getting developed and you actually end up giving yourself more freedom as more people are able to do things that you think only you can do. See, if you are so into your self-importance, you'll never rest. You'll never go underground. You'll never get replenished. And other people around you won't ever go to another level either. Psalm 37:7, last verse I'll share with you today, says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. It says, go before God and be still. When you're resting, not doing your normal mundane activities, you rest and you're waiting and trusting that the thing that you dropped off is going to sprout. You're trusting that's going to happen. And while you rest, other people get ahead of you. While you rest, other people advance because they're making more sales calls. They're doing other people. And by the way, even if you're a stay-at-home parent, the Jews used to do this thing where they would cook their meals the day before so they wouldn't have to cook. You can have a day where you don't do laundry if you're a stay-at-home parent. You can figure that out. And don't fret when somebody else is doing more laundry than you. That's okay. It's all right. Be still and fret. Don't fret when people get it. If you rest in the short term, people will get ahead of you. They might get better grades. They might. Probably not, but they might. They might get higher sales numbers. They might get higher attendance at their thing. That just might happen. But God says, man, just be still. You're not playing for the next 7 days. You're not playing for the next 7 months. You're playing for life. You're playing for eternity. Put your trust in me that things are going to work out and there's going to be something that's going to sprout up that's beautiful, that's way down deep inside. Let's be still right now. See in the midst of this winter-like moment if something doesn't cross your mind that God gives you the idea for. You know, God has given you an imagination. And I believe the imagination is not there for escaping reality. The imagination is there for creating reality. And creating it through prayer, talking with God. God's given us a multi-sensory, visual-oriented thing where we can maybe hear from God because He puts pictures in our minds and we can talk with God because a picture is worth 1,000 words. You don't have to write a term paper to talk with God. Let me just direct you for a little bit here. Something that could be helpful. Your life is a tree. And if you want to think about this, great. If you don't want to think, if you don't want to do this exercise at all, that's fine too. Just being still could be a gift to you. But if you want to think about a tree or if you want to do this with your eyes open, just look at the tree up here, whatever works for you. All of us in here represent a tree. See yourself as a tree. And just carve your name. Carve your name in the trunk of that tree so you know that's your life. All those major branches that you see coming off the trunk, all those major branches represent the major areas and sectors of your life. Your friends, that's a whole big branch, big offshoot. Your career, your physical fitness, your family, your hobbies, your diversions. The whole tree, by the way, is your spiritual life. All those areas are important to God, every last one. And on the end of those branches, put an object. See an object that pops on this branch representative of all the things in your life. You might see your bicycle there, your motorcycle right there on the edge of the branch. You may see your television. You may see the face of the person you're dating. Your checkbook. Your investment quarterly statement, your treadmill, then the nameplate that sits on your desk fill up your tree representing your life. God, would you give us the gift of seeing what needs to drop away? What needs to die? What good thing needs to drop away? Help us to see that right now. And the snow comes. One flake at a time, covering it up. Covers up. Goes dormant and it dies. God, we want to wait patiently for new and abundant life to spring forth. Help us this winter to wait patiently. Endure. It'll be fine. See you next weekend. Mm-hmm.